Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. This is your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because it could be, that's right, it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Remember that our show is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we do it always without any manipulation. It means we have no hidden gimmicks. We play no games. This show is about clear and accurate communication of the truth from the Word of God so that you can verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you're able to do that, then you can orient and adjust. God never sent me to change anybody. God just gives me the opportunity to give the truth. And the Bible certainly says the truth will set you free. We're not going to rant and rave and preach and holler and yell. We're just going to talk about the Scriptures, and I hope you'll stay tuned. I hope you'll be listening and paying close attention. And this is a very important show because we've been talking about the Bible. Last couple of weeks, we discussed the Bible. The Bible as we know it, with its 66 books of the Old and the New Testament, I believe it is the most vital document in human history, as well as the most supernatural act of God that's been observed since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet a lot of people do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's amazing to me when I talk to people that they find all sorts of reasons not to believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And you hear all sorts of excuses like, well, man wrote it and it's full of mistakes written by man and it's all messed up. And how could we really know for sure that this is the infallible Word of God? And so that's what this show is about. For the last few weeks, we've been studying the Bible, the authenticity of the Bible, the origination of the Bible, where it came from, how you know you can trust it. And I wanted to give you some background on this because that's what this show is about. We teach the Bible, the Word of God, and there are tons of shows that teach the Bible. I know that. There are all sorts of denominations, religions, and everybody's out there harking the Bible. But the one thing different about this show that you might have noticed is we don't sell anything. So we're not asking you to send $19.95 to get a copy of this tape. You're certainly welcome to have any of these messages. We download all of them, and they're on our website. You just simply go to bigrick.org. That's www.bigrick.org. And you can listen to any of these radio shows by means of our website. And if you'd like to have a copy of any of our books, you can feel free to write to us, and we'll send them free of charge. It's never a charge. You just simply write to Rick Hughes and P.O. Box 100. And our city is Cropwell, Alabama, C-R-O-P-W-E-L-L, Cropwell, Alabama. The zip code is 35054. Our announcer will repeat that at the end of the show, but if you have a question or you'd like to request one of the books that we've done, just simply write there, and we'll be glad to send it to you as soon as possible. And we've gotten a lot of letters from people. It's very interesting to... One guy said, I never thought I'd be writing to a radio preacher. Well, don't worry. I never thought I'd be a radio preacher either. But I've enjoyed doing these radio shows, and it seems to be something that God has opened the door to. And I'm never here to insult you, but just to instruct you, to communicate accurate information to you. And one of the things we talked about in the formation of this show as we've been discussing the Bible is how America has gone from a word-based society to an image-based society. And so people no longer read the Bible. People no longer see the need for the Bible. Even in a lot of churches now, it seems like a lot of churches really hit on drama and drama production and singing and praise and worship and not so much about the Bible anymore. However, the Scriptures say, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which sword is the Word of God. And so we're mandated in this passage to pick up the sword or the Makaira. The Bible is called the Makaira. The Makaira was a short two-edged sword that the Romans used to conquer the world. It wasn't the Rhomphalia that the Thracians used. It wasn't the big one-edged sword that was about 5 feet long. And it wasn't the Zephas, the Zorro-looking sword. It was the Makaira, the sharp two-edged sword. And that is the word that is used here in the original language of the Greek New Testament. And the sword, or the Makaira, the Bible of the Spirit, the pneuma, the Spirit, is the Word of God. And there are two different Greek words for the Word. One is logos, and that refers to Jesus the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. and the other is Rhema, and that's the written word. And the Bible is the written word of God. We showed you where 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture originated from one's own disclosure. For all prophecy came not in the old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the question is always, who wrote the Bible? How did we get all of these 66 books? How long did this thing take to write it? And who put it together? Well, these 66 separate documents were written over a period of more than 1,600 years by more than 40 different human authors. They all came from a wide variety of background, and yet it's amazing that this book is a single unit. It's bound together with a single theme, and that theme is God and His relationship to mankind through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. If you're ever going to come to believe the Bible, you must come to understand that it is divinely inspired, that it is a gift from God, that it is a supernatural act of God, that you're able to have it today, and you're able to have it in your hands. And we're going to talk some of that about this today. Okay? Let's keep going into this subject, and we will carry this on a little bit further. Now, we ended up last time that I was on the air with you, I ended up talking about a very important scripture, which is 2 Timothy 3:16. And there it said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. All scripture, and that's really scripture, the whole Bible, is given by inspiration of God. Everything in the Bible, everything that's written in the Bible, from the apostles and the prophets, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, this means that you can have great confidence in this book that we call the Bible, because it is God's complete revelation that was preserved for us throughout all of the ages. All Scripture is given for inspiration, and it's by inspiration of God. And inspiration is our key word that we studied last week, theopneustos. And theopneustos was a key word, theo meaning God or the Trinity, and pneustos to breathe or to breathe by God. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, there are nine different ways. I want you to understand this. There are nine different ways that God gave the Scripture. But the reason that I want you to understand this is because if we lose sight of what founded our country and made our country great, it was the Word of God that our country was founded on. If we lose sight of that, then we lose sight of what our future destiny is. I recently read an article in Christian History Institute magazine called Glimpses. And this article, this is Glimpses number 185, and said, this is what the article said, and many in our society today have lost their memory. Boy, that's a true statement. The article goes on to say, some lose their memory due to disease. Some lose their memory due to neglect. But most of contemporary society has forgotten where they came from, and most never really bothered to find out. So if we don't know where we came from, we can never truly know who we are. I thought that was a great truth. Another quote that I would like to give to you was by a great philosopher named George Santanoya, and he said, those who cannot learn from history are doomed to repeat it. You see, every generation is shaped by the thoughts and the ideas of the previous generation, whether we know it or not. And this generation that we live in today, going from a word-based society to an image-based society, is neglecting biblical history. We've neglected the Word of God. We don't put any precedence in the Word of God. We don't put any prominence in the Word of God. We don't put any particular emphasis on learning Scripture. As a matter of fact, we've done everything that we can to take Scripture out of all public venues so people don't know what the Word of God has to say. Historian Mylon Hubby, who was a blind Czech historian, stated this, that the first step in liquidating a people is to erase their memory. End of quote. And this is especially true of the history of the church. When we lose our history, we lose an integral part of our identity. You see, because we are a church and we're built on a legacy, and the legacy goes forward as well as backwards. See, many Christians are handicapped by their lack of awareness of the experience and the struggles of the preceding generations behind us. So a knowledge of history helps you combat your tendency to believe that everything revolves around you. It doesn't. What you got to remember is that God was in business before you got here, and God will be in business when you're gone. You understand that? So if you're ever going to be a mature person spiritually, it requires that you have an awareness of the past. Historian Philip Schaff said this, "Next to the Bible, history is our surest guide." Now, what about the Bible? The Bible, if you're going to understand how the Bible got to us, we're going to have to understand something about history so that you can trust it, so that you can understand that this is not something that Satan has infiltrated. Satan has attempted to infiltrate the Bible several times. As a matter of fact, he wrote his own Bible. And there's several Bibles that Satan has written. One of them is called the Quran, the words of the prophet. That's not the word of God, I assure you. The word of God is given to us several ways. First of all, it came by an audible voice. In Exodus 19:19 and in Matthew 3:16, you can read for yourself. God spoke by voice to Moses. God also spoke by voice to John the Baptist and the witnesses that heard the voice. So many of these things that are written in the Bible were written as a result of what someone heard God say or how God spoke audibly by voice. Much of what is in the Bible was given to us by angels. In Hebrews 2:2, the Bible says the word spoken through angels proved steadfast. And so what angels communicated to prophets and apostles, they wrote down. Much of the word that we call the Bible in Hebrews 1:1 was given through prophets. As I read to you, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and he has in these days spoken to us by his Son. It's Jesus Christ, the words that he spoke. Much of the New Testament is related to who and what Christ was and what he said. And you may have one of those Bibles that have all the letters of Jesus in red. I don't know. But I can assure you this. Everything in the New Testament is called the mind of Christ. Everything the apostles said, it's the mind of Christ. And so therefore the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ, the recorded thinking of Christ. And Paul the apostle even put it this way, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And that's the mandate, to learn to think as Christ thought. And that's why we have the scripture in Romans 12:3, that we're not to think in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to us, each one of us, a standard of thinking from his word. Yes, when you learn the mind of Christ, when you identify with Jesus Christ, the Bible says he humbled himself and he made himself of no reputation. And that's the objective of learning divine viewpoint as it is in the Bible. Yes, God gave his word through angels, prophets, through Christ, even through the apostles. The Bible says in Acts 1:2 that he gave commandments to the apostles whom he chose. And those apostles wrote it down and recorded it, i.e., for example, the apostle Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament. Sometimes the recorded word of God came as a result of a vision, such as in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, and he wrote what he saw. So God spoke in many ways and communicated scripture in many different ways. But all of these things became written records for us to have. Now the question is, why did God give you a Bible? Why would God leave a Bible for you? What was the whole deal to start with? Why do you need a Bible? Not to say that you haven't bought enough Bibles in your lifetime, And I'll go on to talk about how much money is made selling these Bibles. The Bible is the best-selling book in the history of the world. Did you know that? I can't even begin to tell you how many millions of Bibles have been sold, and I've probably got a couple of dozen myself. But why did God give us these written records? Well, the reason is what I quoted to you in 2 Timothy 3:16 to start with, where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. And it goes on to say, so that the man of God might be mature and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has given you a treasure. The treasure is the Scripture. Paul said we have this treasure in our earthly bodies. The Greek word in the original manuscript for treasure is thesaurus. Thesaurus. I have a pastor friend of mine in Pittsburgh. He's a walking thesaurus. It's incredible what the words he comes up with. But that pastor, his job is to go into the gold mine and dig up the gold and bring the word treasure to you and make you rich in your soul by the amount of doctrine that you learn and retain in your soul. So God designed to make you rich with a word treasure. This treasure gives you an understanding of history. And when there's an uptrend in history, then the treasure is being spent and cashed in. When there's a downtrend in history, then the treasure is being ignored. As goes the history of a nation, so goes there are, let me put it to you this way, as the people of a nation relate to the Word of God, so goes the history of that nation. So let me ask you a question. Where is the United States today? Are we on an uptrend, politically, economically, socially, spiritually? Are we on a downtrend? If you charted it, if you put it on a wall and charted it and graphed it up or down, would we be going up or would we be going down? That'll tell you, looking at the trends of history, of what's going on with the Word of God within a nation. That's why I felt it's important to say these things on this radio show. Yes, the Bible is for teaching. It is for learning because God left it for you, and he left it for your benefit, and he intended for you to learn it and for you to use it. But you must know it before you can understand it. You must know it before you can understand it. God said in Jeremiah, he said, I'm looking for people that not only know me, but people that understand me. There are a lot of people that go to church on Sunday morning like this morning, and they're in churches, and they know God, but they don't understand God. That's pitiful, but it's true. Because God operates on protocol, and a right thing has to be done in a right way. And just because you're at church and just because you're praying, it doesn't mean it's honoring God. You can pray till you're blue in the face sometimes and God won't answer your prayers. I taught you that on the 10 reasons that God doesn't answer prayer on this radio show. So if you don't do a right thing in a right way, then it's wrong. A right thing done in a wrong way is wrong. You say, well, how could going to church be wrong? You go to church in the wrong way and it's wrong. There's a right way to go to church and a wrong way to go to church. There's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. There's a right way to give and a wrong way to give. And if you don't understand these things, you wind up doing the right thing, but you wind up doing it in the wrong way. And so in order for you to understand the mind of God, God gave certain male members of the human race a supernatural ability to teach it, to understand it. I said male members of the human race. Yes, I did say that. These men are called pastor teachers, poimen kai didaskalos in the original language of the New Testament. They're shepherds and instructors. They shepherd the flock. They instruct the flock. They're men who have a supernatural gift. I call them a qualified pastor, men that God has ordained and given the ability to study and teach his word. And when you find yourself under a qualified pastor, when you find yourself studying the Word of God under someone who has prepared and who has dedicated his life to study it and teach it, and you find great success in your spiritual life, you're able to grow spiritually, and you have an impact in your nation. You have an historical impact. Now, your pastor, he's the shepherd and the guardian of your body, but Jesus Christ is the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. Listen to 1 Peter 2:25. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. That's Christ Jesus himself. But then in 1 Peter 5, the pastor is said to guard the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God among you, the scripture says. Serve as an overseer and not by compulsion, but do it willingly as God would have you to do it and not for dishonest gain. Did you hear that? Not for dishonest gain. Uh-oh, well, I would get on my soapbox here. God never authorizes any pastor to sell his word. He doesn't authorize pastors to write it and sell it. And as soon as you hear some pastor telling you on the radio, for a gift of $19.95, you can forget it. It's the right thing, wrong way. Maybe the word was great, but God never authorized us to sell anything. The Bible says you got it free, you give it away free. Why do people sell that stuff? So they can finance their ministries. The problem is, if God's in it, God will pay for it. You don't have to worry about financing it. It's the way I operate this radio show. You never heard me ask you for money. And yet it costs money to do it every week. But I believe if God's in it, he'll pay for it. So we don't sell anything, and no one's authorized to sell anything. So he is not to do it for dishonest gain, 1 Peter 5 says, but to do it eagerly, and not as lording over them either. So this is important that you understand. You have to have a shepherd, a pastor, teacher. Just like Jesus guards your soul, this guy's the guardian of your body. And he will do it by teaching you the Word of God so that you can understand it. Why do you need to understand it? Because the Bible is for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. For reproof, it will reprove you when you're wrong. It will convict you when you're wrong. The Word of God in your soul acts as a norm or a standard in your life to let you know when you're out of line. And it's like an alert horn going off in your soul. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Don't do that. And most of the trouble you've gotten yourself into, just like me, is when you ignored what the Bible said and you did it anyhow. And then a few years later, a few weeks later, you say, that was stupid. I wish I hadn't done that. Well, guess what? You're a victim of your decisions, just like I am. And bad decisions limit future options. And you make enough bad decisions, you're not going to have any options left. The Bible is there for reproof and for correction. Correction means to restore or set right. And that's what God intends for you. He wants you to correct your course, to get back on the right course by looking at the Word, seeing the Word. It's there for instruction and righteousness. And the word instruction is to put on. It's to put on. It's to nousia. It's the Greek word to instruct in your mind. You see, the pastor's job is to teach you how to correct your mistakes, how to curb your passions. His instruction is aimed at increasing virtue and integrity in your life through discipline. That's what the job of the pastor is, so that you can verify and identify the Word of God in your life, and then you can orient and adjust to that plan. The pastor can't live your life for you. You have to live your own life. And your decisions, you're responsible for. The pastor can stand in the pulpit and tell you what it says, and you can walk out the door and forget it all. Are you going to walk out the door and change what he taught you from what the Bible, it's an interesting play on words here, but the Bible uses the word gnosis to epinosis in the Greek. Gnosis is knowledge and epinosis is full knowledge. The difference between knowledge and full knowledge is the difference between what you heard and understood and what you heard and applied. That's why our Lord said happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. What you apply is what you keep. And so instruction in righteousness, dikaiosune, this is the word righteousness, dikaiosune, that's the Greek word. That's the integrity and the virtue that comes from correct thinking. It's part of the character and the righteousness of God. See, a lot of people don't know that the justice of God is the guardian of the righteousness of God. And what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. This is why people have to go to hell and spend eternity in the lake of fire, because they cannot equal the righteousness of God. That's why the Bible says there are none that are righteous. No, not even one. All of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. And that's why the justice of God is forced to condemn those who don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The justice of God is forced to condemn that person to everlasting hell because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's just that simple. Jesus Christ came to the cross, died on the cross as a substitute for us. That's what his whole life was about. That's what the whole Bible is about. It all points to the cross. That's the thread that runs through the whole Bible. And Christ came to that cross voluntarily, laid his own life down, voluntarily of his own free will, as a substitute for us. So God judged Christ in our place. We should have been there. We were the sinners, not him. But when he judged Christ for us, then he who knew no sin was made sin. And the Bible goes on to say, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. The only way you can have the equivalent righteousness of God is to get it through Jesus Christ. And the only way you'll ever get it through Jesus Christ is to believe that he is the anointed Son of God, the Savior of the world, and that he went to the cross and identified with your sin. He was your substitute. He died for you. That was his job. He knew it all along. He knew from the day that he came into the world. He had one objective, and that was to die for the sins of the world. And had he sinned, had Satan been successful in tempting our Lord Jesus to sin, he would not have been qualified to go to the cross, because he would not have been the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. But he was, and he did. And you can have the same righteousness that he had when you put your faith and trust in him. It's pretty simple. He took your sin, and he gave you his righteousness. Now, God has preserved all of these things in the Scriptures. All of these things that we talk about, God's preserved it in the Bible. That's why you need a Bible. You wouldn't know these things if you didn't have a Bible to tell you about them. So God preserved his word so that Christians in every generation could have a complete revelation from God, and they could come to know the mind of Christ. That's the one thing Satan does not ever want you to learn. He does not want you to learn the Bible. He wants you to have a Bible. Sure, go buy you one. Buy you two. Buy you three. Don't open it and read it. And whatever you do, don't get under a qualified pastor who could explain it to you. See, listen, the Bible's not a novel. It's not Gone with the Wind. It's a textbook. It was left by God so you can understand the mind of Christ, so that you could process and accumulate divine viewpoint in your life. You could learn to think a new way. See, God preserved it for us. He designed it. It was the pre-designed plan of God. He designed it in eternity past, and then he gave it to us. See, God preserved his word. You know why? So that there would be absolute authority in life. And that's what people don't like. They don't like authority. They don't like absolute authority. They like authority as long as they can make their own decisions. But the Bible is absolute authority. It's a divine prerogative that God chose, and only Jesus Christ had that authority. And his mind was recorded. His thoughts were saved. His thinking was left behind. It's a standard of thinking which carries with it the same authority that he spoke with during his incarnation. And when you stand on the Word of God and believe the Word of God and live by the Word of God, then you have that authority in your life to make these decisions. And all you have to say is, this is what the Bible says, and this is where I stand. That's the authority that I stand on. That's why God preserved his word, so you could have it in writing, so that you could have this authority in your life, and you could be absolutely confident. You're not making a mistake in any decision that you make, because this is what the Bible says, and I place my faith in that. So it's one of the greatest treasures of all time. There's nothing that you have that's of any greater value. Thousands of promises, thousands of provisions, all revealed to you in the writing of the Scripture. There are no extra biblical revelations, not since it was complete. And if you want to learn it and understand it and apply it, you have to be taught it. God provided this for you to assimilate, this textbook. It's your manual for living. And you are supposed to learn it and assimilate it and put it into your life. Why? Because God uses prepared people. God's looking for a few prepared people right now. It's one of the reasons that I do this radio show. I'm looking for pivot potential. I'm looking for people that, regardless of the cost, they're willing to discipline themselves to study the Word of God and learn it and live by it, so that they have a maximum impact on the future of this nation, and so that they glorify Jesus Christ to the utmost. That's what I'm looking for. Somewhere there is, listening to my voice today, that sort of person who places priority number one on learning the Word of God and applying it into their life. If that's you, I salute you and I thank you. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at BigRick.org. Join us next week for another edition of The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, on 960 WERC.